Good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's show, Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 94. We are closing in on that all-important episode 100. Yes, that is going to be a big episode. We're going to start getting guests together because that's going to be fantastic. What do you want, a three-hour stream or a four-hour stream? You tell me, and I will do it. We'll try and get as many guests in as possible. It's going to be big. So tonight we are live, as always, on DLive and on RadioAlbion.com. DLive is here for video. Radio Albion has both video and it has audio. The last few weeks, we've actually had more Radio Albion viewers than we have had DLive viewers. It's been fantastic. That platform is growing and growing. And of course, it is the home of my good friend, Sven Longshanks. He's a fantastic guy. Please support RadioAlbion.com when this show isn't on or when this show is on. It's got loads of great content and it also restreams my David Duke show appearance at 4 p.m. on a Friday and also my Monday appearance on Dr. Patrick Slattery's show. So there are three shows per week with me featuring on RadioAlbion.com. Great place to pick up new content. Now, of course, the best place to pick up my videos is BitChute, but also now Odyssey and LBRY. The same thing, Odyssey's a front end. I am going to put up my Odyssey link during the show multiple times, so please subscribe to me on Odyssey. That would be absolutely fantastic. I'm moving all my videos over there, and we're going to have a separate channel for PWR as well. There's going to be two channels. There's going to be the Mark Collett channel, Mark Collett Live, with live random live streams, gaming streams, book club, all the other stuff. That's all going to be on there on a different channel. And then finally, there is going to be a special PWR channel. So we are building there as well. Now, it's great to see so many people already here tonight because we have a fantastic guest who will be introducing shortly. And if you want to contribute to the show, you can do so via Entropy. Entropy is the free speech alternative. The link is in the chat. It's on my Gab. It's on my Telegram. It allows you to make super chats. It also allows you to make ask unpaid questions. So you can ask unpaid questions or you can make financial contributions. That is greatly appreciated because it keeps a roof above my head. It allows me to do this. It allows me to devote so much of my time to nationalism. And we have so much to discuss tonight. But before we do that, I'm going to give you a rundown on a few other things. If you want to contribute to me by alternative methods, one of the best ways is crypto. You can donate to me via Bitcoin, Monero, Ethereum, Cardano, anything, any type of alternative currency, you can donate to me via that. If you haven't got the address for my Bitcoin, my Ethereum, whatever you want to donate to me with, write to me. The best way to write to me is at mark@thefallenwesternman.com. I am there also to help people. I spend a huge amount of my time helping people, specifically nationalists and usually young men, with all manner of problems, including helping with them with their CVs. So if you need help, write to me at mark@thefallenwesternman.com, or if you want to donate to me via alternative means, or if you want my bank account details, so you can transfer any donations that way. Obviously, I have been deplatformed off all social media, so if you can share this show, that is greatly appreciated. Now, couple more announcements before we get straight into the show. First, I am back on Friday for the monthly update with Laura Tower. That is the PA monthly update, Patriotic Alternatives monthly update. That will be here on DLive and also on YouTube. Then on Sunday night, we have the PA book club. That is with myself, that's Laura Tower, Natty, and Aunt Sally. And this month's book, as voted by you, is Hellstorm. And that's going to be a real treat because we don't just have the four book club members, but we have the publisher and the author with us too. So it is going to be an absolutely full house. And that's going to be a DLive exclusive. I've been digging into that. I have been watching the documentary. I've seen it before, watching again. Very, very harrowing. But please, if you haven't read the book or watched the documentary and you want to be up to speed for Sunday night, do that before Sunday night. That will be at 8 p.m. Sunday DLive and the PA stream Friday night, 7 p.m. YouTube and DLive. So really looking forward to both of them. And I know that PA has a lot of activities planned all over the country for this weekend too. So be on the lookout on social media for people sharing images and videos of those events. Now on to the show. Jason, my friend, how are you doing? You're looking in very good spirits. You're looking very healthy tonight.
Oh,
Very healthy indeed. How are things going? How are you? How are you? And also, brilliant show on Saturday, the after party 3-year anniversary, which I was on. Who's on the after party this week?
Well, and thank you so very much for that. You did a marvelous job with Laura, and we loved having you there. It was a magnificent time with the both of you and all of the splendid guests that we had, a slew, folks. I mean, I think there were 19 total. So if you didn't see it, you want to go on over to No White Guilt on YouTube and track down the third birthday of the after party. And you'll, of course, see Mark and Laura and a great many others of your favorites, Jody K, Minnie. You'll love it. One of our guests who were there, who was there on Saturday, is our guest this coming, pardon me, Saturday. And that's Elenia, the Italian lady, who a wonderful woman, lover of our people. And she had several, I think, Facebook pages, hundreds of thousands of followers. And one of them was taken down by the anti-whites at Facebook. She'll be with us and we'll be discussing a lot of interesting subjects with her, all things going on in Italy. And by the way, just talking about that, on our third birthday, we went all the way around the world. We were hitting people up on almost every single continent. White positive folks, we loved it. Please become a part of the family. This coming Saturday, it will be the 27th at 2 p.m. With Elenia. Make sure that you're there. We live stream over 9 platforms, I think is what it is. So make sure you're there to enjoy it with us. Let me quickly share Nathan Lentini, which is one of our great content creators in service to white well-being, and I'll drop his link in the live stream over the course of our show here today. It's marvelous to be on with Horace again. This is a great guy. So I'm really looking forward to this. Really quickly, I'll just say we had, unfortunately, Way of the World was censored utterly from YouTube, had his tongue cut out of his mouth. And of course, that's something we really sympathize with, because this is a man's, not only his efforts in service of white well-being, but all of those countless hours and minutes and days, et cetera, of work that were done that cannot be reclaimed. And the YouTube has just summarily deleted him. And he is now on BitChute, or has been on BitChute and Library. And I'll share those links over the course of the stream as well. Two final notes that I want to mention that are very exciting for me is that I have finally sent off iteration 2 of the second edition of Go Free to the proofreaders. So we are almost there, and it is 100 pages longer than iteration 1, 100 more power packed pages to enable you to take on those anti-whites in your world, to go free yourself, and to burn down, metaphorically, of course, to burn down the anti-whites everywhere you turn in argumentation and the like. And finally, the brand new, you all are hearing it for the very first time, the brand new nowhiteguilt.org website is up and running. And the geniuses that I have been working on to put that website up with several targets in mind, I think we've hit them. And there's even a little ability there for a person to click on there and give their input. We would like to crowdsource and get people's ideas. So if you head on over at some point after the show to nowhiteguilt.org, I would very much like any of your input, but check it out. And we're very excited about it. And I'm very excited about starting this conversation about conservatism and the like with Horace and Mark, looking fantastic with his new beard. Pass it back, brother.
Yes, I've been a bit lazy with the shaving, but hopefully I'll be able to go back to the hairdresser soon. I'm absolutely sick of having to shave my head, and I'm also not. it does really annoy me. It really annoys me. We're not going to have a massive amount of time to talk about this lockdown today, but another great byproduct of conservative mismanagement, which is what we're going to be talking about tonight. But before we introduce Horace, just a quick point to make. Way of the World has been deplatformed, as Jason said. I spoke to Way of the World earlier today. He was expecting this. This guy is a tireless crusader for our cause. He's a good friend of mine. He's an excellent friend of PA. And please, please do look him up on Odyssey. Please look him up on BitChute. Please support him in any way you can. He certainly deserves it. Now, let's get into the show. Tonight, we have one of our favorite guests. It is the amazing Horus. He is an integral part of our community. He produces excellent revisionist historical videos, which can be found on BitChute and Odyssey. They are a must watch. He is also somebody who is part of the PA Film Club, and I really, really do love his takes every time we review one of the films. I'm really looking forward to his take on Schindler's List next month. I have met him several times in real life. He is an absolutely fantastic guy, and I'm very proud to be able to call him a friend. Horace, how are you doing, my friend? I'm really looking forward to the topic we've got to discuss tonight.
Amazingly kind words, mate. Thank you. It's great to have met you in real life as well. I met Jason also very briefly at the conference nearly a year ago now, and he was deep in conversation, so I left him to it, but we said hello. And it's great to be back on, especially as last time, obviously, I turned up about 40 minutes late, so and I'm only laughing out of embarrassment there. I'm on BitChute because I've been banned off YouTube, but I'm using Odyssey more and more, and it seems like just this week everyone's joining Odyssey. I saw also, apart from Woz got banned, obviously, Where the World got banned, Morgoth seems to expect to, judging by his last video. Loads of other people getting banned all over the place. Laura's said that she's probably just going to be putting content up on Odyssey, so it's definitely the hot place. And if anyone joins up, use my invite link, please. I really enjoyed the chat we had a couple of weeks ago, Mark, on conservatives. And I'm sure Jason will have some input from the other side of the Atlantic as well, because they've got the same problem there. You've got a fake right wing in the place where there should be a real one, or a real patriotic movement. I've made a couple of videos about that, and I intend to do more. And so, thanks for having me back on, and I'm looking forward to it.
Just out of interest, on Odyssey, I seem to be getting it all wrong on there. How do you generate one of those special share link things?
It's on your invites page.
On my invites page. Where's my invites page?
Are you on Odyssey? You're on Odyssey, not library. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the top right, where your little icon is, click on that.
Ah, invites.
Yeah.
Ah, your links.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll save you the trouble. I'll just put my invite link in the chat, and then everyone can use that. So anyone wants to check out the chat right now, guys, you want to sign up to Odyssey.
And I've put mine in as well. Fantastic. delete Horace's so mine takes.
Put mine in again.
Don't cuck me on my own stream, Horace. No, obviously only jesting. Now, the reason we've got you on tonight is because we've got something very important to discuss. I feel over the time I've been streaming and producing videos that I have produced some really, really important videos. Some videos that I'm very, very proud of. And I've been on some streams that I'm very, very proud of. But one of the streams that I felt has been the most important, especially of streams I've done recently, is the one I did with you a few weeks back. Now, you and I had been working on this for some time. We'd had a couple of scheduling problems, so we hadn't managed to actually make it happen. But we eventually did, and it was a stream all about the Conservatives, because I think we've got a massive problem, not just in this country, but the nationalist movement worldwide, the sort of pan-European, pan-Western nationalist movement has a problem. And that problem is that many people who are naturally drawn to our politics, many people who are anti-immigration, who are patriotic, who are nationalists, who love their country, love their people, who are by nature conservative with a small c, traditionalist, they still go to church on a Sunday, they believe in family values, they're against the LGBT agenda, they're against this woke BLM anti-white agenda. These people are naturally our people. But unfortunately, these people far too often get sucked into conservatism. They vote conservative and they end up believing that the conservatives, especially here in the UK with Boris Johnson, are actually going to do something patriotic. They're going to do something good. They're going to fight back against the madness besieging our people. And you and I did a very special stream. It was over 2 hours long, where we went through loads of examples about how the Conservatives fundamentally don't do any of that. The Conservatives, in fact, push the woke agenda just as much as Labour. And although people say, oh, I voted Conservative to keep Labour out because they were worried about the woke agenda, in fact, the Conservatives are more or less identical, if not more, feverish in their attempts to bring in this anti-white woke agenda. What's your initial comments on that? Because I've got some articles that I've got saved up that you and I did not talk about on our two-hour special. And I just wanted to go into this a little bit more with you tonight, because I think it's been a bit of a slow news week this week. And I think these sort of shows are important because we as a people and we as a community need to be ready to, and we need to be armed with good arguments to pull people away from the Conservatives and teach people that the Conservatives are a completely false salvation. They're wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, they're no salvation at all. They are the ones making this country majority foreign. And there's no excuses for them whatsoever. But yeah, I think exactly the last thing you said there, we could, if anything, have a sort of a cheat sheet or something like that where we anticipate all the sort of top 20, 30 most common defences or excuses that people make for them and what are the best answers to blow through those excuses. The hardest one that I have to deal with is, well, what are we going to do? Who else is there to vote for? Obviously, I link them to PA, but PA's having, so far having trouble with the Electoral Commission. So that's the one that I actually struggle with the most. But in terms of why we should oppose the Tories, why we should at least not vote for them, whoever we do vote for. I have a lot of success with it on Twitter, although I think my days on Twitter might be numbered, getting short suspensions now. But it's crucial for our movement to remove these people because they are taking the votes that belong to nationalists, right? A lot of people actually have in their minds this vague idea that Boris Johnson is a patriot. I don't think anyone, I don't think anyone in the world could have convinced themselves of that, of Theresa May, but there you go. Boris Johnson's in charge, and he's got himself into this position by this sort of feigned patriotism. It's utterly and totally false, and it's not just, it's not just that he's weak, he's a liar. If people can see, I'll retweet it again in a minute when I've stopped talking, but I've done a thread showing the at least 8 occasions where Boris Johnson has said that all the illegal immigrants in Britain should be given British citizenship. The man is an arch traitor. They are the reason, the Tories are the reason why we do not have a conservative or traditionalist or patriotic or nationalist party in Britain. They exist, their function on behalf of the ruling class and increasingly on behalf of the globalist class is to stop us having that. And as we can see from this extremism report that came out from the government, this is not some anti-white body, officially, this is from the Commission on Countering Extremism, which was created by Theresa May, which has been continued by Boris Johnson and Priti Patel. That report names Patriotic Alternative as an organisation which they want to ban, and their complaint in this report is that it's currently not possible to ban them. And the grounds for doing that is that by representing white interests, they're inciting violence and danger upon non-whites, which is all the government cares about. So I can't remember what the start of that sentence was, but basically, the government is our enemy. It's not the left. It's not the media. It's not the woke brigade, whatever the hell that refers to. It's the government. It's the Tories. It's the traitor party. And the more that we try and get between them and their voters, I believe the more political profit we will get. And I think it's working. I think the people who are prepared to stand up for them and say, no, they're not traitors, are thinner in number than they've ever been. I think they've narrowed by, I don't know, but immensely just in the last year. And obviously that's thanks to COVID, but it's also thanks to the blatant illegal immigrant invasion going on. The Tories have no defence and the people standing up for them are looking isolated. So I say carry on. And just the last thing I'd say is this is what Operation Broken Fence is all about. It's about ruining correctly, fairly, justly, the Tories' reputation. And portraying them as the traitors that they are and getting people to vote patriotic instead.
Well, that's very, very important. And that's a great sort of intro to what we're talking about tonight. And please, reminder to people, if you want to contribute, you can do so through Entropy. And if you can share the stream, that would be very, very useful. And we're going to go into some examples now, because I always think it's great to illustrate our points. And I've got a few things open that we didn't discuss when we did our two-hour stream, but they really do illustrate how the Conservatives actually behave. Now, here's one which I think is very, very important. I'm going to read this. This is from the Christian Institute. And you might not be a Christian, you might be an atheist, you might be a pagan, but I still think whatever denomination you are, you can look at this with quite a bit of worry. Tory MP lists prayer alongside rape in proposed conversion therapy ban. A Conservative MP has listed prayer alongside grotesque acts such as corrective rape as she called on the government to ban so-called conversion therapy. Writing for the House magazine, Alicia Kearns, MP for Rutland and Melton, said the fraudulent and abhorrent practice must be criminalised as existing laws do not enable prosecution when no physical harm has been caused. She said any attempt to stop someone from expressing their chosen gender identity or sexual orientation is conversion therapy, which she said can range from therapy and prayer sessions to aversive treatments like electroshocks or even corrective rapes. Kern said a ban had to include not only conversion therapy to change sexual orientation, but also non-consensual attempts to prevent someone from expressing their identity. She made it clear that she wants a ban to include parents seeking to protect their children. She said legislation should include a power for family courts to stop parents from trying to prevent their children being given harmful sex swap drugs, and that it should be a legal requirement for people to report known or suspected cases of conversion therapy. While she said provisions had to be made for the complex discussions around faith and sexuality, she emphasized that she does not want such discussions to hold up the legislative process. Now, I think that is an incredible, incredible article. And what she's trying to do is incredible. She is not only saying that if your child wants to transition, firstly, you cannot challenge it. Secondly, you cannot try to prevent them accessing any form of gender-altering drugs. Thirdly, you can't do anything, whether that's physical or otherwise. So if you pray for them, if you refuse to acknowledge their new made-up name, if you refuse to acknowledge their belief that they're something else, that is abuse. But the most outrageous part of this was this little paragraph, and I really want to emphasize this. She said legislation should include a power for family courts to stop parents from trying to prevent their children being given harmful sex swap drugs, and that it should be a legal requirement for people to report known or suspected cases of conversion therapy. What she's actually trying to do is make it a legal requirement for you to snitch on people you know about, for you to go running to the police if you think or suspect someone is saying to their children, "I'm sorry, you're a little girl. No, you're a little girl. You were born a girl and you're 12 years old. Sorry, you're not a little boy." She wants people to report parents who say that to their confused child to the police. And she says she wants to make, and I'll just repeat this again, people to report known or suspected cases of conversion therapy. So not only if you know somebody's doing that. So if you know somebody is saying to their child, no, you're a boy or you're a girl and, you know, you need to work this out. You're only little. You can't make those decisions yet. If you know that, you have to report it to the police. But if you suspect that somebody might be doing it, just suspect, you have to go to the police. That it's actually a legal requirement for you to go to the police if you suspect somebody of saying that to your children. Now, this is not just insane in terms of the way it reaches into people's homes, the way it violates people's rights, the way it takes power away from people's parents. But this is coming from a so-called conservative. Now, when you speak to people online who are conservatives or who are supporters of the Conservative Party, and they're two different things, conservative with a small c, conservative with a large c, what you hear from these people is that conservatism, or the Conservative Party, stands for small government. Low taxes, small government, more rights for the people. So the Conservative Party is meant to stand against the nanny state. It's meant to stand against this all-seeing, all-knowing, powerful state that looks into every aspect of the way you live your life. But here we have a Conservative Party MP pushing through legislation that actually encourages people to spy on their neighbours. Now, we've talked a lot recently about the communist nature of this COVID lockdown and the way the government wanted people snitching on their neighbors, the way the government wanted people to spy on people living on their streets, on their friends and family, and report it to the police. But here you have this exact same kind of legislation. What do you think to this, Horace? Is this something that gets alarm bells ringing for you?
Yeah, and obviously the start of the process that she's describing, that she's trying to force total compliance with, will be, you know, how many kids in real life actually come to their parents and say, you know what, I actually think I'm a girl. Like, obviously, in virtually every case, maybe literally every case where that happens, some adult has put that idea in their head and told them that it's their own idea. Right. So what the world that she's trying to build is one where basically people like her, or people or teachers who agree with her, social workers, whatever, anyone who can basically get access to children can start to insinuate to them, you know, if you say it to a class, if you say it to 100 children and some of them are going to take it up, that's a win for people like her. You're going to insinuate to them, right, you were probably born in the wrong body. That, you know, whatever problem you have, however unhappy you feel, it's because you've been assigned the wrong gender, as they would say. She's trying to make it so that there's no escape, so that these sick, pervert activists can plant the idea in children's head, and there's nothing, not only is there nothing that the parents can do about it, but they'll go to prison. And not only that, but obviously their next door neighbor or their friends or their cousins or whatever will go to prison for not reporting them, for trying to save their children from a path that ends in suicide for 40% of people, apparently. Just to add to that, I looked up Alicia Kearns while you were talking. There's a Guardian article from 2004 where she appears to be about 16 years old or a little older. So she's actually younger than you and me. At the age of 16 or wherever she is here, she is an activist for Amnesty, which is, you know, not an evil organization, but clearly a leftist one. And it says, Alicia says, I hope to be a human rights lawyer for Liberty or for the UN. The United Nations, of course, supports Antifa openly. Their Twitter account actually said so, with the red and black flag. And Liberty is the National Council for Civil Liberties, which is a far left pro-criminal organization that was set up to defend communist rioters in the 1930s and has been a left-wing, anti-British, quote, human rights, unquote, organisation ever since, led by, of course, Sharmi Chakrabarti, friends with Jeremy Corbyn. What a joke. I'd love to speak to the people of Rutland and Melton and just ask them, is this what you voted for? And if not, why did you vote for it? Do you know what I mean? Did you vote to have your own influence over your child, to protect your children from perverts? Are you voting to have that taken away by people like her? If not, what on earth? You know, this is the thing. Go to the Tory voters and just say to them, why are you voting for this? But yeah, sick, sick, deranged, and very authoritarian.
What do you think to this, Jason? Do you have anything like this in America? Are there any parallels you could draw from what the Conservative Party are doing here in the UK with what Republicans do in the US?
Oh, it's precisely the exact same thing. I mean, it's just there's no different. And what there is a silver lining, and I think it would behoove us, especially these days as things are getting worse and worse across our countries in the West, it would behoove us to maybe use this as a touchstone as we move through the rest of the conversation, this sort of silver lining, in that the people who are elected, there is this won't. And it is in error to conclude erroneously that there's some sort of a grand play taking place in front of our eyes, that all of the pieces are moving around on the stage exactly as they are supposed to do by some shadowy force behind the scenes. They're writing a script for them to say. That's not obviously exactly how it works. We have individuals who are in pursuit of their place at the trough. And as we know, we had you talk about this, I guess, a couple of years ago now, Mark, the kind of money that they make and holding these positions, and which was very enlightening. So they want their place at the trough. They want the money. They want the fame. They want the et cetera. They're going to receive donations, of course, for these positions from people who are radical anti-whites, who would like to see those who care about our countries, our people, led down blind in alleys like they've been doing for the totality of our lives. The silver lining, though, I think, in this, and we have some crazy, and I'll pull up some of the kinds of things that the conservatives and the Republicans are increasingly endorsing over the course of the show, but it's all the exact same kind of things, mirror image of what's taking place there, especially with regard to our children. And that is that the anti-whites in our societies have so much power today that, and they hold so many nodes of power in our systems, and so many people in our system, so many of the citizens who are going to be voting now as the demographics shift, they're either radical anti-whites themselves or terrified of opposition to it. And so that's what you see with you talking about the conservative types in the UK. You see that they always take these milquetoast positions. And the milquetoast positions are a consequence of their infections with anti-white ideas, but also the fear of the social lynching that comes as a result of the increasing and increased power of anti-whites. Why is this beneficial to us? Well, people in the UK and elsewhere in the US, we've been trying to tell all of these folks who should naturally be in our camps that the conservatives aren't for you. This is what they actually want. This is what they're actually doing. It's just like this endless series of losses, which, by the way, for those who don't know, I worked on the Hill in Washington, D.C. during Bush Jr.'s first term, and I left, and it was the nerve center. I worked in the nerve center of the conservative movement for the United States. So every Wednesday, we had all of the heads of the most powerful conservative movements in the United States come for a Wednesday lunch, off the record, White House staff, Congress members, and who talked about what could be done or not be done. And it was nothing but a series of losses. That's what they essentially exist for, not because there's a script written for them, but because that's where the money goes, that's where the effort goes. Here's the thing, the silver lining, is that we've been trying to pull people away from these parties, and it's so difficult because these parties have been able to so easily blur the line between what they are actually after and what the millions who vote for them, who should be supporting us, are actually after. Since anti-whites now hold so much power within our civilization, those individuals who run for office as conservatives, or whatever other label they go under, as the nationalist or the equivalent, their patriots or whatever it is in their countries, they have to appeal increasingly to radical anti-white ideas. And that is exactly what you're seeing from this woman. That's exactly what you see from the Republicans, conservatives in the United States, where they say, of course, we want an endless stream of astronauts and physicists streaming over the borders, because being white erased in our countries is a wonderful thing when it's legal. And so that's how you end up between the difference between the anti-whites in the U.S. who call themselves Democrats and the anti-whites in the U.S. who call themselves Republicans. They have accepted in full, in toto, the position that 10 years ago, 20 years ago, they would have given lip service to, no, we don't want to continue this immigration thing. It's rapidly changing the makeup of our countries. And that was far easier to manipulate those voters who naturally should be with us. So this is a wonderful thing, actually, as much as we can lament it and be disgusted by it, and we should be. But it is a wonderful thing that the folks who call themselves conservatives, who represent supposedly the conservatives, which remember now, these are individuals who want their money, they want their Maseratis, they want their trips to Spain, they want their time in front of the TV, they want their pensions and et cetera. They want all that, so they're going to fight like animals to get it. To get those votes, they have to say these radically anti-white things nowadays and take these positions this is a magnificent development, actually. So it's going to bode well. And we should come back to this touchstone as we move through this conversation. I know that Horst has done a lot of research, and you have done a lot of research, Mark, on these folks. I think the coming years is going to present us with opportunities to reach out to these nationalist patriots, et cetera, in our community and bring them in much easier than the previous 10 years has been for us.
Well, let's move on to some more of these points. Now, this is another one that it really, really does make you think what the Conservatives actually stand for. I'm going to bring this up from the Daily Mail, and this was in the paper on the 20th of February, just a few days ago. I think this was Sunday News. World's first gay rugby club that beat the bigots by tackling homophobia gets its own film 25 years after being founded by Tory peer Lord Hayward. So here you've got this world's first gay rugby club. Here they are, gay men playing rugby. And there's their sponsor, Lord Robert Hayward. He's a conservative peer. There he is with two of the younger gay rugby players. And, you know, here's some publicity material, etc., celebrating all of this. Now, how many times do we hear people online saying, the problem that we've got, and these people call themselves conservatives, and they're always saying, the problem that we've got is identity politics. You know, the problem that we've got is the left are pushing identities upon us, that we're fragmenting as a society. Why do you need a gay-only group? Or why do you need a black-only group? And then they expect the Conservatives to fight back against this. They vote Conservative to stand against this wokeness, to stand up against the woke brigade. But here you have a gay-only rugby club, which by its very nature sounds discriminatory. If you had a straight-only rugby club, you'd be taken to court, wouldn't you? But this is a gay rugby club for gay players, and apparently it beat the bigots. But it's all being funded and set up by a conservative peer, by the kind of person you would expect to be saying, well, actually, people should be playing for the club on the merit of their ability, not on their sexual preference or their sexuality. But that's exactly the opposite of what's happening. This isn't being pushed by a Lib Dem peer or a Labour peer. This was done by a Conservative Party peer. And it was the Conservative Party, of course, in Britain that legalised gay marriage, that legalised adoption, that were the party that have brought in, as we read earlier, these pro-transgender laws and curbs on parents who try to even speak to their child and talk them out of transitioning into something that they'll never actually be. People call it transition. You're not transitioning, because transition is moving from one state to another. You don't go from being a man to a woman. You remain as a man. It's just you've had cosmetic surgery on your genitals. You don't become a woman. You become a man who's had extensive cosmetic surgery. That's what you are. It's not a transitioning. It's almost a state of nothingness, a state of limbo. But here again, you have conservatives pushing this. What do you think to this, Horace? How many times have you heard people saying, the conservatives are against identity politics? This is a real Sargonism, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, about the last bit, I mean, you know, the ineffective ways of attacking them by saying, yeah, I'm focusing on this identity politics thing. No, they are the reason, or they're at least part of the reason, major part of the reason, why what they call identity politics, which all goes against one particular set of identities, they're the reason why this is happening. This guy, obviously, I've looked up Robert Hayward. I mean, it seems like a bland man, notable for nothing whatsoever. And why he's a Tory, as with so many Tory politicians, you wonder, why are they in the Conservative Party? The only answer must be because they're pro-business. And by pro business, we usually mean pro big business, right? I mean, they're not looking out for all the shops that are closed currently, obviously. They're not looking out for hairdressers, are they? But they are looking out for Sainsbury's, for Amazon, for LinkedIn, for Vodafone, whatever. They're happy because all of those will fly the rainbow flag. They can all be relied upon to do so. But yeah, I mean, you know, that is the only thing that distinguishes these people from the left. And I think if you ask them, what does it mean to be a conservative now? It's hard to get any of them to talk to us, but I think the answer would generally be, well, they'd name something crazy about the very far left, about the most extreme elements of the left, and say, I don't agree with that, therefore I'm a conservative. Whereas if you were to ask someone in the Labour Party about this, they wouldn't give you a clear answer. So that apparently that's good enough. So what they're saying is that they very proudly and smugly are part of this sort of consensus, this ruling class consensus that families are passé, that that white people are passé, and so on and so on. And all these things are to be consigned to the past because the future is bright, accepting, open, open in the George Soros open society sense. And the range of things that constitute political contentiousness are there's hardly any. It's are you pro-Israel or anti-Israel? Obviously, that was their way of attacking Corbyn because he wasn't a Zionist. Are you pro-business or anti-business? The thing is, even there, I mean, all the main parties are within a short range of just sort of a mixed economy. And that's it. Everything else is settled. And by that, they mean the leftists were right. The left won and we support them. And that is their answer. That's their answer to everything. And they are cringeworthy and embarrassing, and that's only the least bad bit of them. They're also betrayers of civilization. I don't need gay rugby teams. Do you know what I mean? I'm not even convinced that the world of rugby is closed off to gay people. I mean, don't they fly the rainbow flag? Football is very far from closed off to gay people, right? It seems that almost every football fan I encounter on Twitter now has also got the rainbow flag in their bio. So why this was even necessary? Well, it wasn't necessary. It was his own personal project, probably a way for him to meet new partners. I'll pass it back with that.
And one thing I've got to point out here is at one point, conservatives supported, was it Section 28?
Sorry, yeah, in the 80s, yeah. And that was, and they
Section
were right 28,
that's what it was called, wasn't it? And that was to prevent children being sexualized in schools or being basically taught homosexual propaganda. And a central pillar of Section 28 was that the homosexual couple could not be put on an equal footing as the traditional family. The traditional family had to be central to discussions in schools, and nothing could be put as its equal. Now, the same people who once said that are now trying to pass Patriotic Alternative off as the greatest threat to democracy ever for having that policy as part of its 20-point plan.
The Section 28 was a perfectly justified thing. Some of the things said in support of it in Parliament, including, backbenchers and House of Lords, some of them sounded like kind of fuddy-duddies. And the things that they said, some of which, would be characterised as bigoted by the left and by the sort of pro-homo forces, some of those things were, they made some daft arguments or they put things badly, but the law itself existed for a good reason because in reaction to the Tory, right, every time the Tories get in government, so I very acutely noticed this in 2010, but I believe this happens every time. When Thatcher's government got in 1979, the left reacts by going even further to the left and trying to undermine and disrupt the government in every way. And one of the ways they did that was in the 80s, loads of the London boroughs, I think Lambeth was especially notable for this, Brent as well. These are obviously ones where ethnic minorities have taken over large areas as well, so that might not be a coincidence. But these boroughs were led by extreme left radicals, people like Bernie Grant, Linda Bellos. Look up these people. These are like fanatically anti-white, anti-Western, generally communist, generally all anti-family and so on. They were passing measures where they literally were and I mean like directly promoting homosexuality to children, as in they were annoyed that parents weren't raising their children to be homos. And I know that sounds like a ridiculous exaggeration, but you see some of the materials. I mean, this was, you know, in some cases, this was, you know, say a library under Brent Council would have this material in. But the point is, like, the politicians should, you know, in those areas should be concerned about that. They should be saying, you know, nobody should be promoting sexual activity, let alone homosexual activity, to children, right? But these councils were at best lax about it, and at worst, in some cases, encouraging it. And the Tories wanted to stop that. And that happened because radical, and I am talking like extreme leftists, have taken over loads of London boroughs and were using their powers to undermine the family and to undermine ordinary people.
Do you have any comment on this, Jason? Have you seen similar things again in America, where at one time conservatives were expected to be the party shielding this kind of sexualized propaganda from, or shielding children from this kind of sexualized propaganda, but now the conservatives are the ones that are opening the floodgates and literally pushing it upon these. The issue we've got here in the UK is conservatives are literally racing with the left to see which party can be the most woke.
Yeah, and that's the obvious outcome of a system wherein what we refer to democracy today is controlled by those who control the means of communication. And the anti-whites control the means of communication, and therefore anti-whiteism is the ideology that wins the day with the strategies that they have implemented over the years to inflict injury on Western kind and Western civilization. They've created a context increasingly where the anti-white ideas are the only ideas. And we see it's especially true in places like the cities, New York, and the West Coast of the United States. These areas are leaders when it comes to anti-whiteism, especially this child abuse, when it comes to teaching children these absolutely disgusting acts. They shouldn't be talking, I agree, they shouldn't be talking about sex at all. Many would say that they shouldn't be talking about sex at all at any age at school, that this should be left to the family, the morals should be left to the family. But the anti-whites, of course, they don't want that because they want to inflict injury. So by confusing children with white children with whether they are male or female and whether or not they are homosexual or heterosexual, getting them to engage in any number of acts, especially at an earlier age, it results in a defective, self-hating, white-guilted individual that is exactly what the anti-whites want to achieve. The conservatives, the Republicans in America, they used to be able to get votes and get into office by, and perhaps Donald Trump is the last example of this, they would make the appeal to what the population actually wants. So if there were a Donald Trump in the UK or Donald Trump in Germany or elsewhere, an anomaly to the anti-white system, not saying that this individual is white positive, but if there were an anomaly in the system, somebody who decided, I've got the money, I have the suavity, I have whatever it takes, the showmanship to get people to give me their attention, and I can outwit the regime, the anti-white regime, to get into office, I know what I need to say. And what did Donald Trump reveal to the world that you need to say in a Western nation? Well, that you want to make it great again, that you want to make it what it is based on the biospiritual projection of the people who compose, create, and sustain Western civilization, and that is only Western kind. And by appealing to these people, and what would in the anti-white narrative be referred to as anachronistic ideas, condemnatory ideas, bigoted or hateful ideas, ideas that sustain our people. And that's telling you something right there when they reveal that the ideas that sustain you, the monuments that sustain you, the history that sustains you, that that is all evil. When they define all of that evil, that tells you everything you need to know about these people and what their objectives are, that there isn't some sort of anti-white utopia that they want to move toward. It is merely the infliction of injury on Western kind and Western civilization. So we learned a lot of things by the anomaly of Donald Trump. And that is that all around the Western world, there are hundreds of millions of Westmen, men, women, and children, that are ready and willing and able to vote for and put their money behind and their energy behind an argument and a position that will restore a civilization that harmonizes with our biospirits. Why is that then not happening? Why does that not happen from all of these anti-whites, the couple of them that you have named in the UK, who call themselves conservatives of various stripes, and the same thing in the US as well? Well, because the anti-whites have so changed the context, and there are so many punishments, rewards, and punishments built into the system that they actually end up arguing for the exact same position that the anti-whites are taking, as radical as they is. Mark, you're pointing it out perfectly. They end up in this horse race because these conservatives, so-called conservatives, know, and this is what I started calling after the loss of Donald Trump and the loss of the Senate in the U.S. to the anti-whites who call themselves Democrats. The Republican Party is the neo-Democrat party today. They are going to advance anti-whiteism faster, if they can, than the anti-whites who call themselves Democrats. This was ultimately always going to be the case in this system. You were going to end up with parties that were going to say to the population, we will be more anti-white than the others, and therefore put us into office so that we can have the acclaim. But we have even people mentioning in the chat right now exactly what I was saying earlier, that in their lives, they are discovering that the people that are our normal allies, the people who are the MAGA people, for example, in the United States, that it's far easier today to bring them over to our point of view, one that is going to preserve who and what they are, something we've been saying, Mark, you and I, for a very long time, that to conservatives, everything you care about, every idea, every ideal, every song, every flag, every border drawn in the sand with the blood and sweat and tears of our people of our different countries, every single one of those you are going to lose if you continue to support conservatives and Republicans and whatever else they call themselves across the West. And that is exactly what has happened in every single one of our countries. But the reason why folks wouldn't listen to us, you and me, Mark, back in the day, is because these Republicans and the rest, they were able to sell them on the, I really care about you, I'm doing all that I can. Well, now they're openly saying, don't care about you. We want your children now to become confused anti-white sexual freaks where they don't even know what they're attracted to, how to be attracted, and to start getting attracted far before they should have any sort of ideas of sexuality. That is the conservatives of today. That is the Republicans of today. They are in their purpose is each and every one of these men and women, and remember this, they just want to get to the office so that they can lose again and again and again. They say whatever they have to say. And the kinds of things that these good folks have researched and are sharing with us, folks, Horace and Mark are sharing with us, this is the kind of despicable behavior that is only going to increase. And I've already pulled up a couple of things happening in the U.S., the kinds of things that Republicans are getting behind. Defund the police, Republicans and conservatives getting behind. This is the kind of tomorrow that we have. But guess what? All of those hundreds of millions across the West who don't want to defund the police, who don't want their children to be taught about sexuality and to be a homosexual one day, a male one day, and a female the next day, and a heterosexual the next day, they don't stop existing. They just stop having somebody to vote for. That's where we come in.
Thank you. Well, look, before we go to the Super Chats, we've got a few Super Chats tonight. You still got time to donate, and I will turn the lemons on the hour. I'll warn you before I do that, but there is still time to donate. I'll put the entropy link in the chat. What does make conservatives stand out then? Because we've talked about what conservatism was traditionally seen as. It was traditionally seen as a movement that conserved tradition, culture, heritage, that protected people's rights. Conservatism was something seen as small government. It was anti-nanny state. It was low taxes. But what does conservatism really stand for today? What do the conservatives do that makes them stand out from Labour? Well, I think there's two things, really. First, conservatives do still cloak themselves in this false veneer of patriotism. And this is very important. When Boris Johnson swept to power with this incredibly impressive Tory majority, he was saying he would tackle immigration. He was saying he would get Brexit done. He was saying that he would get a grip of certain things, or wouldn't go down the route that Jeremy Corbyn was going down, announcing his pronouns, et cetera, et cetera. And all of these things basically turned out to be lies, didn't they? He completely botched the Brexit deal. It was Theresa May's deal, just with his stamp on it. It's a complete botched job. It's left Northern Ireland in a terrible position. It's created an actual border in the United Kingdom. You know, Northern Ireland, you know, is part of the United Kingdom. It is the United Kingdom of Great Britain, England, Scotland and Wales, and Northern Ireland. Yet now, within the United Kingdom, there is a border. That was what was not meant to happen. Boris Johnson assured us that wouldn't happen. It has happened. People also voted for Boris Johnson because he said there was going to be this Australian-style points-based immigration system, which just complete farce. They're flooding in at a record rate. And on top of that, he wants to give the right to some 4 million people from Hong Kong to flood in, which is just absolutely obscene. And these people don't have anything in common with us in terms of culture, language, or ethnicity. This is, again, another lie that we were sold. So that's one thing. Conservatives stand apart from Labour because they cloak themselves in this false veneer of traditionalism, of nationalism, of patriotism. This is all fake. But where do they actually differ? Well, are they actually different in any ways? I mean, I'm asking you guys. I'm not sure. I mean, if I was pulling things off the top of my head, I would say that the Conservatives, more than the other parties, stand for big business. The Conservatives stand for obscene tax cuts for these giant multinationals. They want to make Britain a tax haven for crooked social media giants. They want to allow the super rich to basically squeeze every single penny they can and get away with it. They also are completely anti any form of environmentalism. I did a video the other week. It didn't actually do very well, this one on BitChute. It's the first one in about 4 weeks that actually hasn't performed. And it was about the way England has been overdeveloped. And ultimately, there is only 14.5% of land in England, which is natural countryside. Everything else has been developed on. It's either urban, it's either urban green, which is things like sports pitches, tennis courts, etc., or it's farmland. Everything's been developed on, all but 14.5% of the land. And the Conservatives are repeatedly giving developers chunks of this undeveloped natural greenbelt land to be built on. I've got to say, that's probably the only thing that stands the Conservatives now apart from Labour, apart from the left, and that is the Conservatives are nakedly anti-environmentalism and even more pro-big business than the left. What do you think, Horace? Is there anything that makes these guys stand apart? Is there anything that makes Boris Johnson and his motley crew stand apart from Labour?
I think the intensity of their loyalty to various companies does stand them apart. I mean, Labour exists, you know, stands up for business to the extent that they want to rob business of the money they need to spend on, you know, whatever else. But the Tories are positively enthusiastic about it. When they see a forest, a field or whatever being concreted over and turned into new housing for Somalis and Afghans and so on, that is positively thrilling for the Tories, whereas for Labour it's just what they have to do, you know, it's just consistent with their ideology, whereas the Tories will see that and actually be thrilled. I'd say the other thing they stand for primarily is ending the nation. I actually think their enthusiasm for that exceeds that of Labour, whereas for Labour nations never existed in the first place, whereas for the Tories it's something to be destroyed, right? So They are consciously, it's not that they happen to be to the left of their voters. It's that they want to force their voters into a leftist position, right? So the Tories, whoever, I don't know, whatever gang it is in charge of the Tory party, they ensure that genuine conservatism, consciously, I mean, they ensure that genuine conservatism can never be heard, ideally not even in a single constituency, but certainly at the level of the leadership. I believe that their main purpose is to conspire to ensure that it's always the left of the party that takes over the leadership. And I believe that in people like George Osborne said that his hero was Abraham Lincoln, right? Abraham Lincoln, who obviously destroyed the South of the USA cruelly, sadistically. I've seen George Osborne also boasting on Twitter, saying that there was an incident where a couple of years ago, I think, where some very sort of radical anti-EU people tried to take over one constituency somewhere, and they were doing well. They had won over enough support in the constituency. They'd isolated the MP, and they were getting close to be able to vote the MP out. Might have been Dominic Grieve, actually, a particularly snivelling little traitor. And they were close to forcing him out. And then the Tory party just issued a statement saying, basically, subversive forces have tried entryism in this constituency. We've banned them, and we will choose who's the MP, and that's that. And George Osborne said, yeah, I mean, through the whole time David Cameron and I were in charge of the party, we just did this routinely. Any genuine conservatives who try and take over even one seat, we just get rid of them. We just ban them from the party. It's conscious, right? They know exactly what they're doing. And that is what the Tory party does. It sees itself as the ruling part, as the representative of the ruling class against the working people, against the ordinary people, to ensure that they can never vote for anything other than their own destruction. I think that's a fair summary of it.
I think that's some very, very good points there. By the way, the lemons are open for 5 minutes. Jason, what examples do you have in the US of conservatives actually being different from Republicans being different from Democrats? Are there any differences now? Because in America, I see the last few sort of non-mainstream Republicans literally fighting for their lives now. And since we all got booted off Twitter, I actually still go on every now and again, and you see the hate train that used to come in our direction, and that hate train hasn't stopped since we were deplatformed. In fact, the hate train is still rolling on with a full steam ahead, but instead of crashing into the Mark Colletts, the Laura Towlers, the Horaces, the Jasons, the Mike Enochs, it's smashing in to actual elected Republicans who happen to support Trump in some small way, or happen to favor open carry, or happen to favor capital punishment for child murderers or serial killers. Do you see anything now that differentiates the mainstream Republican Party from the Democrats?
Simply put, no. The head of the Republic, there are a couple of individuals who are not just giving lip service to American Western white ideals, to be redundant there. There are a few, but they are not in charge of the Republican Party. The Republican Party is run by anti-whites. They know increasingly that their existence is dependent on anti-whites and anti-whiteism. They're trying to find a new place. Every day that goes by, they try to find a new place further or closer and closer to the most radical of anti-whites, while they pay increasingly less lip service to the sorts of things that they had to say, certain ideas that they had to say in order to get votes in the past. So it's like watching a pit viper shed its skin and become a new monster all over again. The kind of thing that's not going to face you in open warfare, but will hide in the tall grass to strike you in the Achilles heel as you walk by. That is what conservatives and conservatism represent. And the thing that is, I'm really glad that you both brought this subject matter up. And everybody watching live and in replay should really appreciate this too, because this is actually a very complex phenomenon. this is a very, it's a difficult thing to really wrap your head around how you have the individuals who run for office, the leadership, the claims that are made along the way, and what those claims actually represent. Do they represent something substantive? Do they represent something that is just lip service? And then what you have where the rubber actually meets the road. When I was on the Hill all the way back in Bush, when I was on the Hill all the way back on Bush Jr.'s second term, I was told by elected representatives whose names you would recognize, people you've seen on TV, that we do all that we can, and even though that results in loss all the time, that's just the way it is. And yet they continue to stay in office. So it demonstrates that these, you have individuals who are pursuing selfish individual desires and making the claims. And right now it's, they're making a very difficult transition as they shed their skin. There is no substantive difference. Now in the UK, you might still have a difference where you have Republicans or maybe more for big business, but that in the US is just verbiage. There's no more truth to that than anything else. The Democrats represent as just as many big business interests. Democrats are actually funded by Wall Street. By the vast majority of Wall Street's money goes to the Democrats. So another thing that makes this conversation so very interesting and complex is that you have the argument that the arguments that are made to the population, what the population believes about the parties, what the population understands about what individual party members can or cannot do, and then the reality behind the scenes of who is funding whom and who is serving whom, and the confusion that is engendered by individuals who are in office who, in order to enrich themselves, keep themselves in office, get themselves more limelight, will complain on Monday that, my God, the other party has paved over this beautiful strip of land. And by Friday, they're saying that this strip of land over here wasn't paved over. And because of that, all of these people, all of these constituents suffered. And so make sure you vote for me. That is that. So many things here that make it so confusing. And the final point I will make about this, the differences between, or any, if there were any substantive differences whatsoever between a conservative and the alternative, is that we end up, too many of our people end up saying, and I love that this is coming to an end, you all are going to love this, that, well, they're doing what they can, so we might as well just keep them in office. We might as well just go ahead and support them. They're doing the best they can. Well, we now know from their own mouths that they're not doing the best they can. We now know that they want to defund our police. We now know that they are okay with putting an end to the right to self-defense in our countries. We now know they'll openly say all of these things. So this what used to goodbye for the totality of people's lives would be that this excuse that they would give to politicians, oh, he's doing all he can do, or she's doing all they can do. And then maybe they'll say something when they're out of office, and then still they don't. Well, because here's some more excuses. They're worried about their family. They're worried about their pensions. Well, fabulous. Thank you now for telling us that there isn't anything really substantive. But I do have a question about for you both. Is it really in the UK, do you really still have a phenomenon where if somebody is radically anti-white, that they actually care about the environment, or is that just pretense? In other words, are they putting up windmills that are killing birds, that are making the poisoning the countryside, and not providing a renewable, but it's an infrequent. You don't know if you're going to have power, so people are suffering, which includes animals, by the way, and the environment. Are they actually for those things, or is this more just party talk to get people elected?
Well, we have a party in the UK called the Green Party, and they were always referred to as watermelons, green on the outside, red on the inside. And it doesn't matter how green these parties claim they are, they will all support anti-environmentalist policies if those anti-environmentalist policies are pro-immigration or anti-white. So they would rather be anti-white and pro-immigration than they would be green. And the video I made that's up on BitChute, I made this last week, it was last Friday's video, was about the flooding in England, because we're constantly hearing England is flooding more and more. We're having these bigger floods. Areas that have never flooded before are flooding. And this is because so much of England has been developed in one way or another, whether it's farmland, urban greenland, or urban land. You know, we've got only, as I said earlier, only 14.5% of England's land is still what is classed as natural. And a lot of that will be land that is totally unsuitable for doing anything with. That'll be hilly areas, mountainous areas, areas that you couldn't build on even if you wanted to. So what you're seeing here is massive, massive overdevelopment. And the Green Party support this. Whereas all of these parties, when they're asked about their green credentials, it's always raise tax for middle-class families that have two cars, raise tax on package holidays abroad, raise tax on people who have still got chimneys in their houses and have a log burner, because apparently that's destroying the environment completely. It's absolute nonsense. You know, they'll bring in taxes on things like if you've got an old fashioned boiler that was fitted before 1999 and you never had a problem with it, you know, you're going to get a levy because you should have updated your boiler to something more energy efficient. They've always got ways to bring in new taxes, which usually hit hardworking families, but they've never got any solutions to the greatest environmental or the cause of the greatest environmental catastrophe which we face, which is overpopulation. Do you have anything to add to this, Horace, before we hit the super chats?
Not much. I would just agree that the Green Party is just a communist party, and similar kind of people, I presume, founded Extinction Rebellion, or certainly were there at the founding of it. One of them was called Stuart Basden, who wrote a Medium article. He said himself he was one of the founders of Extinction Rebellion, and he said like this movement. I can't remember how he worded it. I'll dig up the article while when you're talking next. But the he said just. I paraphrase it as this movement is not about the environment. It's about social justice. And by social justice, we mainly mean anti-racism. And I thought that just encapsulated it perfectly. I mean, Extinction Rebellion is a movement that uses environmentalism as a pretext for attacking the West in general. I don't think they're specifically anti-white. They're anti-white as well as probably anti-Western and pro, you know, they're probably more concerned with just what's good for Arab women rather than what's bad for white men, but also the former as well. So, yeah, I'll hand it back.
Right, let's do some super chats. You've still got time to donate tonight through Entropy. Obviously, all donations very gratefully received. It helps me to do what I do and keep doing what I do. So, obviously, if you value my work, it is very, very much appreciated. And as I said, I am currently working at a schedule where I am doing a minimum of 5 streams per week. I do Dr. David Duke Show, Dr. Patrick Slattery Show, PWR, a stream or a show on Friday, either gaming, books, or movies on a Sunday, and usually at least one guest appearance through the week. And I have done a guest appearance on Tuesday this week with the Archon, and I have a guest appearance next Monday evening at 6 p.m. with Richie Allen. I've got an hour with Richie Allen that I'm really looking forward to, so make sure you tune into those. Now, here's the first Super Chat, $25 from Bailiff Basher. Thank you so much for the generous Super Chat, my friend. He says, "Hi, Mark. I see the BBC appointed Richard Sharpe as its chairman on the 10th of February, a former banker for J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs for over 30 years. He has also donated more than $400,000 to the Conservative Party. I think you can guess which tribe he is from. Keep up the good work and best regards to all those at PA." Well, Bailiff Basher, my friend, not only am I very thankful that you have donated $25, but I have something for you in return. Myself and Dr. David Duke did an entire hour show last Friday on Richard Sharp being appointed as chairman of the BBC. Now, you might want to watch that show. It'll be on the Rents Radio Network archive. It'll be on the Dr. David Duke's website. And it's also, I believe, on RadioAlbion.com. Sven Longshanks, I can see you in the chat, you cheeky little fella. Can you tell us if that is still on your website? Because Bailiff Basher may wish to go and watch that. As I say, I do an hour with Dr. David Duke every week. I would love to work more with him, but he's just too high energy for me and leaves me exhausted. I just can't keep up, even though he's in his 70s. So thank you very much. Serena JB, our wonderful friend Serena, great to see you here tonight. Gave £5. Thank you very much. And she said, as our people are being removed from YouTube, there seems to be optimism for Odyssey. What's your view of these alternative platforms? And do you think there's a danger of preaching to the choir? Before we answer that question, let's just say Sven Longshanks has messaged me saying, yes, yes, yes. If you want to watch Mark Collett's old appearances with Dr. David Duke, they're all on RadioAlbion.com. Another reason to love Sven Longshanks and his excellent work. But in answer to Serena, I was a big fan of BitChute, still am, but there are problems there. I've been vocal about the problems. The problems with BitChute, the comment sections glow. They are full of people who are either feds, leftist trouble causers who are misrepresenting the views of nationalists, or just complete and utter retards and LARPers. And the problem is, these people damage our cause. They make us look bad. You make a thoughtful video, like I did, full of facts, full of information, full of statistics about the destruction of the English countryside, and you've got some complete and utter, for want of a better word, mong in the comment section, just sounding off complete nonsense. And I have to flag that for BitChute to review it and remove it. I think content creators should have the power to get rid of comments like that because they reflect badly on the comment creator. And I think I've also seen a lot of channels being flagged down on BitChute. A lot of content is either being region locked. And the other week, Daughter of Albion, great content creator, she got into some trouble on BitChute. I wrote straight to the guys at BitChute and said, look, you've made a mistake here. She's producing good content. Her content was then promptly unlocked. It was an error. But I don't like to see that on alternative platforms. I know they're working really hard. They're really good people. I still think we should support BitChute, but I do think they need to sort out those damn comments. Now on for Odyssey. I'm a big fan of Odyssey now. I should have been in there earlier. I've synced it with my YouTube account. It's absolutely fantastic. I should have jumped on there earlier. It's a brilliant platform. Everything's in HD on there as well. It's really clear. There's no buffering. I like it. My link, my referral link, is up on my Telegram now. I'm just going to drop it in the chat. You know, please, please jump on over there. It's up on my Gab. It's up on my Telegram. I like it. Now, Serena said, is there an issue of us preaching to the choir? Yes and no. Yes and no. Firstly, we have to be somewhere. And if we can't be on YouTube, we have to use alternative platforms. Will that mean we're preaching to the choir? To a degree, yes. Yes, it will. For the short term. But YouTube isn't going to stop with Mark Collett, Laura Towler, Way of the World, Horus. YouTube will go through everybody like a hot knife through butter. And when they've got rid of all of us, they'll get rid of non-mainstream Republicans. They'll get rid of gaming channels that criticize woke games. They'll get rid of people like the Critical Drinker and Mr. H Reviews, who argue against feminist power fantasies ruining films, and the Star Wars franchise being ruined, and the Terminator franchise being, they'll go against them. They'll go against Jeremy Hambley, the Quartering. He's actually a really nice guy. I've spoken to him off stream before. Lovely fella. They'll get rid of him because he pushes back against the woke agenda in much smaller ways than we do. But that is what they're going to do. And if we're on Odyssey, if we're on BitChute, if we're already dominating those platforms, when the likes of the Quartering and the Critical Drinker and Mr. H Reviews and all the others are forced on to BitChute and Odyssey, if we're already there with our fan base, we can be the first content all those new viewers see. So I don't see this as just us preaching to the choir. I see this as us being the first people on the lifeboat and basically being the people that chooses the direction the lifeboat take before the masses reach it. And believe me, BitChute, Gab, Telegram, Odyssey, they are going to be flooded with new members very, very soon. And those people are going to be those that supported mainstream Republic, or sort of not mainstream Republicans, dissident Republicans, but still were Republicans, and all of a sudden need a new home. What do you think about this, Horace? Is it just singing to the choir, or do we have a chance to do something greater here?
I'm a big enthusiast of alternative platforms. I mean, I would rather, you know, YouTube had never gone crap, but seeing as it has, I'm all in favour of us, you know, taking to the hills, as it were. And, you know, like some people who take to the hills, like Fidel Castro, they end up winning, taking the cities back, you know. And if I could be so strange as to compare YouTube to Batista, Batista lost in the end. and Castro's regime is still in charge. I suppose that's a terrible analogy. Sorry. I'm basically saying that nationalists should be treated the way that the people of Cuba are being treated. You shouldn't have had me on tonight, mate. I'm not on form. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think that's a bad analogy at all. I think there's been many times when small, dedicated groups of political activists have been absolutely brutalized and oppressed, and those people have later gone on to win. I mean, I'm not allowed to make any analogies, especially not ones about Europe just after the First World War, but you saw people there who were brutalized and had the bankers and the leftists with their feet on the people's heads, and eventually the people rose up and fought back and regained power. It can be done. We just have to be the people who are dedicated going onto these platforms. Look, this is my message, right? And listen here and listen good, because this is my hottest take on this. When they kick you off these platforms like YouTube and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, they want you to act like a tit. They want you to act like a big fat boob. They want you crying your eyes out. They want you moping. They want you sitting in bed for days on end in your own filth, stinking and crying your eyes out and wondering what you're going to do with yourself. What they don't want is for you to say, screw you, I'm going to go to another platform and I'm going to help make this bigger and better than the platform I've just been kicked off. That's what they don't want. And if you do that, you're putting a finger in the eye of Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Do you know what I lost the other week? I lost my Instagram. That's got all the pictures of the pumpkins that I've carved, of my health and fitness, of my beautiful daughter when she was a baby. It's all gone. It's all gone. I had a Facebook for well over a decade. I think I opened my Facebook account in 2007. It's gone. I've got pictures on there of me with nights out with friends. I've got pictures from family gatherings. All sorts, lost and gone forever. Now, am I going to be somebody who sits on a stream blubbering, crying, and dribbling over something like that? Or am I going to come on a stream and be high energy and say, let's fight these complete anti-white animals. Let's fight them and let's create something better. And that's what we're doing. And I'll tell you this now. That's not just limited to social networks. If I had the money and I had the power, I'll tell you now, I would say to everyone, let's up sticks and move to a little part of England that hasn't been overdeveloped, and we'll set up our own colony. Because I tell you what, we'd be a lot happier, we'd be a lot better off, we'd be a lot healthier just being around our own people. And I'll tell you something nice. It's great to put a story up. It's great to put a story up on Gab or something like that and get positive feedback and not have this endless stream of leftist midwits whining and crying and reporting you. You know what? Sometimes I would post a real killer post on Twitter and it would be getting hundreds of retweets. I'd check it back 10 minutes after posting it and it'd have a couple of hundred retweets already, dozens and dozens of comments, 1,000 likes, just in a matter of minutes. And somebody would text me and say, oh, Ann Coulter's retweeted you. And, you know, in a few hours, it'd have thousands of retweets. And my phone would be lighting up because I'd be getting notification after notification into my email address. You have been reported. A report has been filed about you on Twitter. A report has been filed about you on Twitter. And you'd have your heart in your mouth thinking, my Twitter account's going to get absolutely reported and taken down just because I've said something truthful that's gone viral. And the problem with Twitter is the more successful you were on Twitter, the more vulnerable you were to being taken down. That's the truth. The more successful you are on Gab, the more successful you are on Telegram, the more successful you are on Odyssey, the happier you are. Honestly, when these things happen to us and when we get the opportunity to dominate a new platform, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Get out there, own it, make it as, have a smile on your face, and don't let these things break you, because they're designed to break you. Our enemies want them to break you. Don't do that. The worst thing you can do is get upset about it. The worst thing you can do from our enemy's point of view is laugh it off, smile, pick up your tools, and build something better. That is a finger in their eye. Is there anyone who'd like to add anything to this before we move on?
I'll just add that last night, Keith Woods did us all a favour by creating a link tree of loads of nationalists who've moved to Odyssey. Maybe he will add more to it, but it's a sign and it's a help. I'm posting it in the chat now, but it's a sign of how many people are moving, and it's an assistance for more people to move over. I would say anyone who wants to do that for Gab as well, you'd be doing a big service. You want to send it to me, I'll share it. I'm sure Mark would help. Well, sorry, I can't speak for you, Mark, but I'm sure, you know, this all helps. Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, anyone who wants to create a link tree of people on Telegram or on Gab, that would help too. So there's some equivalent, but I'll post it in the chat again now so you can see what I'm talking about. Linktree itself, Linktree, the company, I think is anti-white. They've posted stuff saying we support, anti-racism initiatives. You know what that's going to mean. It's not going to mean anything to do with Rotherham, is it? But Linktree is useful for now. There's also an alternative one that works similarly called Card, which Keith uses for his own stuff. But Linktree is a useful way of just helping our very rapid migration onto new platforms. You can just post a Linktree with here's Where the World, here's Mark Collett, here's Laura Taylor, and so on and so on. And it just helps new audiences move over en masse. So if people want to get creative with that, I will help publicize it.
Excellent. Well, the next super chat is from JP, who gave $10. Thank you very much. He says, love the show. Keep doing God's work. Well, thank you very much. Very much appreciated. Max Anderson gave £5. Thank you very much. He said, what things can we do every day to be white positive? Well, I'm going to throw that one over to Jason, because that's really your sphere, my friend. What can you do? What is everyday white positivism?
Well, it is a great question. And that's what we do in Service to White Wellbeing and Going Free. And it begins with treating yourself for the anti-white meme pathogens. These are thought ideas. These are thoughts that anti-whites have infected us with over the course of our lives, primarily when we're children. And you need to address these because they are inside of you. As much as you can consciously say, and this is where so many people go wrong, as much as you can consciously say, oh, I disagree with all of these anti-white ideas, or however you want to phrase them, in Going Free, we refer to them just as anti-white. As much as you can consciously say this, it is akin to saying consciously that you are now no longer going to call a tree a tree. You are now going to call it a box or an axe or whatever. You continue to know that it is called a tree. That's what happens when these anti-white ideas are absorbed, which happens immediately and without thought to whether or not it's true, into the subconscious mind. And once it's there, it circulates for the rest of your life. Here's a little trick, and I want to do an actual Going Free on this and talk about this at some point, Mark. It's actually quite interesting. If you quiet your mind, and I hesitate to use the word meditate, but if you meditate, you don't have to get in, assume some weird lotus position, you know, legs crossed on top of your head while on fire or whatever it is that people who do these sorts of things do. If you quiet your mind intentionally, you're using your conscious mind and you silence everything inside. Some people will be really stunned when they have this happen for the very first time. The conscious mind is like this tiny flea on top of our head. And it is only a portion of the mind of who and what we are. If you force the thoughts all to go silent, and then you force that silence to persist, suddenly you'll see and or hear a thought go through your head. Well, what the hell is that? Who is controlling that? That is your subconscious mind. That is the you that is operating the vast majority of your life. Once you learn that you are from an evil seed, and this happens when you are a very young child for all of us, once you've learned this, it is circulating. And those ideas are preventing you from reaching your full potential, physical, mental, and spiritual. So the white positivity begins, and this is the last thing I'll say on it, the white positivity begins by addressing, as we teach in Going Free, to deal with these roadblocks so that you can begin to access your true potentials in all of these areas. And then further, helping others to go free is how somebody who is white positive lives their days, because you learn no way better than by teaching others. And there's nothing more moral than to set a brother or sister, and especially one of our children, free from anti-whiteism. That is living a white positive life.
Thank you. Horace, do you have any everyday white positive actions?
In my case, I'm probably not such a good exemplar as you and Jason. You're both finer physical specimens than me. Not that, you know, I can keep up at the hikes, you know, I can carry the banner for a bit, but, you know, still, I could do better. So I think you guys are the experts, but I would just say there's a lot of bad habits that most of us inherit in earlier life. If you just clear out the things you're doing to harm yourself, that you're a lot of the way there. So get outside every day in the sun, get sunlight, be active every day, get your blood pumping in one way or another. Read in general. You can read when you're walking by getting an app to read things to you on your phone. Make good friends, appreciate your friends. That's a good one. And read Jason's books, which I haven't done yet, but as I understand, Going Free is just a very, very useful and sensible book that, well, I haven't read it yet, but I'm looking forward to doing so when the second edition comes out.
Well, I would say everyday white positive things, just reaching out to people in your community, being helpful, being good. You know, if you're walking down the street and you see somebody's just chucked a crisp packet, you know, 2 foot from a litter bin, there's nothing to stop you from bending over, picking it up and putting it in the bin and tidying something up. There's nothing to stop you saying afternoon to somebody when you're walking past them. Just be community minded. Remember what our people were like at one point and embody that. And you can do the same in our online community. And I've said this before, just try to be nicer to people. Try to be a better person to decent people in our groups. You know, I see people falling out online over the smallest things in chat groups just because people are depressed, people are down in the dumps, and they take it out on each other. Just show each other a little bit more love. And honestly, it'll build a healthy, positive white community. Old Mother Earth gave $5. Thank you very much. And she said, as a grandparent, I'll be happy to enlighten my grandchildren with the truth when it comes to gender and relationships to save their parents doing it and losing their hard-earned careers. Well, thank you very much. Flying Dutchman gave $25. Thank you very much. Very generous super chat. He said, you, Laura, and PA have been taking an artificial beating in the biased press by dishonest and agenda-driven journalists. When will you, Laura, and PA throw in the towel? Well, we're never going to throw in the towel. And in fact, we're doing a special stream on Friday about PA's progress, and we'll be covering everything that has been said. And just today, there's a very, I've never heard of this publication before. Have you heard of a publication called Bellingcat? Any of you guys?
Yeah, it's quite sinister. They claim to be just citizen journalists, but they just happen to keep winning massive prizes from globalist organizations. And they combine pro-war activism, especially in the case of Syria, with Antifa journalism. There's an American journalist called Robert Evans who writes for them. And it's, Bellingcat seems to be a nexus of globalist views, including destroying the rights of white people.
Because they just run an article about the far right today. I've not read the whole thing. It's absolutely massive. You know, these two clowns, I'm trying to, in fact, how do you do I can't even actually find what I'm looking for here.
Is it Robert Evans, the author?
Find on page. I'll find it. I'll bring up my my name, and I'll share this. Give just 2 seconds, and I will bring up the page. Share screen. It's written by these two clowns, Frank Andrews and Ambrose Pym. Have you heard them?
No.
Well, these two clowns here have written this article. They're absolutely tiny in terms of their following. And this is really strange. They don't actually seem they've both got Twitter accounts in the sort of breaking over 1,000 followers. They don't seem to be big people. But if you actually search my name, they've done a whole bit about my YouTube, my DLive, the fact that I'm on Entropy. And this is the most bizarre quote that's ever been attributed to me, because it's probably the most sort of milquetoast thing I've ever said on a stream ever. Beneath the video description, which included Collett's Entropy and Bitcoin details, one commentator wrote, "I'm not a nationalist, but I don't like the government. Can I join?" Collett replied. What do you think I replied, Horace? Actually, yes. You can see it on the screen. I'm screen sharing it. But this is, I was going to ask you what I replied, because they sort of insinuating it's going to be something dead sinister. And I simply said, "Jump in, lad." That's the quote. That's the big bad quote from Mark Collett in this article. "Jump in, lad." In an emailed response to Bellingcat, Collett defended his recruitment strategies and claimed that this investigation was an example of the media colluding with big tech to bring down his movement. I'll actually read out my response to Bellingcat. It wasn't particularly polite. It was nice and short. And I wrote simply, "People of European descent have the right to organize politically in order to advocate for their own group interest, just as all other racial and ethnic groups do and are encouraged to do. Myself and all those who support PA are engaged in peaceful political campaigning and community building, as is our right. You are clearly intending to write an article pushing for further censorious restrictions for those who speak out against anti-white policies and discrimination. This simply confirms what many people already believe, that the media are working hand in glove with big tech companies to prevent people of European descent from exercising their rights to freedom of speech and freedom of association." They didn't print any of that. And the two idiots, Frank Andrews and Ambrose Pym, didn't even have the integrity to print the response. So absolute cowards.
Albion Forever in the chat put another response you could have used. He simply says, "Bellend cat." So there you go.
That's pretty good. So moving on, Divine Insurgents gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, "Your former detractor, Russell Brand, was discussing the Great Reset and admitting that there is a reality to it. It seems like he has changed his tune a bit. Take care." Thank you very much. Stan, yeah, he has, but is he actually gonna debate me? No, he won't, sadly. There's some Tommy Tard been going around as well today, saying that he was going to debate me because he was going to give me such a kicking, but he's decided not to because it would only give me publicity. I'd never even heard this guy's name before today. I don't know if any of you actually do know him. I'm going to read out his name on stream. Let me just find it. This guy seems to be a bear of little brain. His name is Zach Walton. Now, I've never actually heard of Zach Walton before. Is this guy a big name in the TR movement? Has he got a big following? He's been going around mouthing off. "Look, Zach, you're obviously a guy with something to say. So if you want to say it, I'd be more than happy to debate you about demographics, ethnicity, and the importance of closed borders." So, Zach, say what you want about me. Run around on Telegram talking yourself up, but I am more than happy to host you right here and debate you. Absolutely no problem.
In any discussions that you've had with people from this sort of civic nationalist counter jihad side, and Laura as well, have gone, I think, suffice to say, very, very well for our side and terribly for theirs. Does this follow on from, because I was on Active Patriots live stream a few weeks ago, and he's like someone who I think is an admirer of Tommy Robinson, but maybe, I don't know if he's sort of in his inner circle or anything. I don't think he is, but he's obviously someone who's inspired by him. I went on his stream just talking about grooming gangs, which, by the way, I'd be happy to talk to anyone about, including people from the Tommy movement, even those who hate me. I'm quite happy to talk to them about, you know, areas where we got common interests. But he got a lot of, I mean, what started off as criticism and in some cases like really vicious abuse, as did Steve Laws, who was also on the stream and does similar kind of activism. I really admire these guys' bravery. I mean, that's one thing I admire about Tommy Robinson as well. He's brave. But those guys have been abused ever since. That was 3 weeks ago, and it's still going on. There's been all sorts of recriminations in that camp. I'm wondering if this guy, Zach Walton, who I've heard the name, I don't know, I'm not sure. There's this group called the Clown World, who seems like all the abusive behavior, like threats, I mean, in some cases, harassment, doxing, all sorts of stuff comes out of this group. As far as I can tell, I hope I'm not being unfair to them, but it seems to come from that gang. And I'm wondering if he's from them or he's someone in between them and us or something. But the things I want to say to all these people, like, you know, I deplore some of the things that they've done. I deplore any sort of doxing, harassment, threats, lying. There's been lies put about people. I've been called a neo-Nazi. I've been told that Operation Broken Fence is a neo-Nazi thing, which is really strange because it's all aimed at Tories. Anyways, I just want to say to them, like, despite all that, look, we can put all that aside. I'm happy to talk to any of them. I would like to talk to people from that movement. I mean, you know, a lot of them are good people with different ideas. I don't mind people having different ideas. I've talked to Muslims on my channel. I've talked to Jews. You know, I'll talk to people with all sorts of, I've talked to leftists, Marxists, you know, it's fine. I'll talk to anyone. And the more that they're up for talking to us, the better. And I would say, though, it does favor us because their ideas are far, far better, basically. But still, I'm prepared to talk to any of them. And I'm glad this guy's reached out to you.
I think he's really reached out. I think he was just insulting me. But
okay, sorry.
Stan One gave £10 and said, hoping it's full steam ahead for IRL work come the summer, PA all the way. Yes, it is, Stan. We are full steam ahead, and we will be holding as many of our regular events as we can this year. Protect White Babies gave $3 and said, I'm in a much better place because of these two legends. Mark's video on depression helped me stop my porn addiction, and Jason's Go Free streams and ideology stopped my suicidal feelings. Thank you. Well, thank you very much, my friend. I'm pleased I could play a positive role in your development. Arab Social Nationalist gave £10. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, the hysterical articles written about you in the media, Mark, are perfectly indicative of your success. Their Combat 18 fantasies no longer have power. They are not equipped to deal with you. Thank you very much. The Anglo Briton gave $10. Thank you very much. She said, love the stream. Shout out to some Northern nationalist. Will Mark Collett be willing to debate somebody from Meth Squad on Jord from Meth Squad on ethno nationalism and how we sort out the Meth Squad? Probably sounds like he's a bit odd. Not really sure about that one.
Is that implying that everyone who's not an ethno-nat is actually on crystal meth? Is that what they're saying?
I don't know. It sounds the Meth Squad. It sounds basically like a gang of retards, doesn't it? Flying Dutchman gave $5 and said, thank you for answering my rhetorical question. He might have published a two-sentence response, but not War and Peace. I thought that was one of my more snappier responses. But thank you for the super chats, guys. That's absolutely fantastic. And we have some non-paid questions too. We have Connor Chickmeister said, would it be worth voting for slightly less globalist parties such as UKIP or the Heritage Party in the upcoming local elections in the absence of a genuine nationalist candidate? I think you've got to vote for anything that isn't one of the mainstream parties. So if you end up voting for UKIP or the Heritage Party, that's better than the rest. People in the chat are saying the Meth Squad, no, and some people are saying they're quite good. So I don't even know who they are. So
just about the UKIP question, I wouldn't endorse UKIP in the state they're in now. They're a complete mess, and they forced out their best people like Richard Brain and Gerald Batten. But I would always remind people, in 2013, 14, 15, the threat and the fact of people voting for UKIP. But the most important thing about that was leaving the Tories, forced the Tories to give us the EU referendum, which they didn't want. So it's always worth breaking away from the Tories. It's always a good thing.
Yeah, I think it obviously is a good thing to break away from the mainstream. And I would say this to anybody. If there is an election and you are eligible to vote, always go down. Always vote for any party other than the main three or any leftist alternative. So if the Heritage Party's there, if UKIP's there, Brexit Party, hold your nose, vote for them. And if none of them are there, just put a cross through your ballot paper, spoil your paper, but at least do something. Never ever do that. Never ever go down there and vote for Tory, and never don't vote either. You know, they love to, if you don't vote, you're basically saying that that's it. You're happy to let somebody else or another group of people that you're not part of dictate who's going to represent you in the council chamber or in parliament. But by going down and saying none of the above, that's actually very, very important. Reformed Against Lockdown said, would you vote for David Curtin in the London mayoral elections? He opposes wokeism, anti-whiteism, and stands for traditional values. You know, it's very hard to say, really. I don't know. I'm not a fan of him. I think there's probably going to be better candidates in that election. But I think London's a place which is, I hate to say anywhere's lost, but London is one of those places that is difficult to say there's any form of actual hope there. What do you guys think? Well, mainly Horace, actually. Would you vote for David Curtin?
He's better than a Tory. Curtin, I mean, he's a little bit milquetoast for me, but there's elements of genuine Christianity. Well, there is. He's a Christian, but there's elements of genuine conservatism about him. So, yeah, if it's a choice between the two, definitely. And he's obviously better than all the left. So, yeah, I would, yeah. But, you know, he's not an ethno-nationalist, obviously.
Okay. Albion Forever said, I am concerned we will see climate change lockdowns be a thing by the end of this decade. What do you think? I think now they've shown that they can get away with these lockdowns, they will continue with them. It's very, very obvious. I mean, I've seen rubbish come out today where they're saying, oh, the reason there's been no flu is because masks have stopped the flu completely. The only problem's COVID now. You know, not that we've totally taken all the flu deaths and flu cases and called it COVID, but masks have completely stopped the flu. Absolute nonsense. These people are on a massive power trip, and they have just pulled off the greatest power grab that any UK government or ruler have ever pulled off. There's never even been a monarch in the UK that has had so much power as to tell people that they're not allowed to leave their homes, that they're not allowed to go out and work, that they have to abandon their businesses or their land or their farm. No one has ever had that much power. This is the biggest power grab we have ever seen in the history of these islands. And now they've got that power, I don't think they're going to let go of it. I don't think they'll ever let go of it. I think we'll see more of this for different reasons. They're already talking about a third wave in Germany. Why wouldn't we see a third wave here? At the end of the day, these people are the ones counting. These people are the ones who are actually counting the number of cases, and they're counting the deaths, and they're fraudulently inflating both the cases and the deaths. Why wouldn't they say there's been a third wave to gain even more power? And at the end of the day, if the economy is totally smashed, if we see a total and utter crash and everyone living off UBI, who will end up paying for it? Well, under the Conservatives, absolutely, it will be normal working people, people who own their own businesses, people who have mortgages. It's not going to be big corporations. It's not going to be the politicians. It'll be us. What do you think? Can you see climate change lockdowns coming in, guys?
Well, they started using climate change as a pretext for immigration. There's this term climate refugees they invented a few years ago, and I think that'll be used more and more. So, yeah, why not? I mean, it's obviously, I mean, as Jason has pointed out many times, our enemies use pretextual arguments, and climate change is the perfect omni-pretext. So, yeah, why not have lockdowns for that? And whatever else they want to use it for.
It's a really interesting question, and Horace is citing me right, that anti-whites will, that we call it mispretexting, it's an acronym, moralize, intellectualize, sentimentalize. any reason, anything conceivable to get to an anti-white conclusion, an anti-white objective. And so it's entirely possible that they could attempt to use what they refer to as climate change, which is anthropomorphic driven climate change. They could attempt to use that. There is the phenomenon, though, that the broader their victim number, the harder it is to advance their victimization. That holds true for all victimization by any victimizer. So it would have to be there would have to be quite a few. It would end up being quite a few people victimized, including quite a few businesses. They are burning their reputation that they have left, the anti-whites in power, with the remaining people who are not violently anti-white and who are going along with the victimization, the lockdowns, et cetera, and possible lockdowns, because they think, well, surely these people can't be just insane and wanting to do horrible things to Western kind and Western civilization. They're burning their reputation up there. And if they were to move towards something like a, well, we've got to lock you all down because, and then insert some arguments from climate change, anthropomorphic driven climate change, that would be, I think it's less likely. I think it's far more likely that they would use disease, pandemic, because that's much more personal and tangible and easy to scare a person with than something as intangible and remote as maybe the ice cap in the north is a little smaller than it used to be, even though the one in the south is a little bit larger than it used to be. So I think they'll probably stick with things like pandemics and disease for any lockdown attempts. And the global change, climate change things would be used as pretexts for taxation and deindustrialization across the West, other ways to inflict injury on us.
Thank you. And one last question, Rory Herbert. I agree. Oh, no, sorry, we've got a super chat here. Sorry, Rory. I'll read yours anyway. He said, I agree with Horace. I stood as a UKIP candidate in the 2019 local elections, gaining 40% of the vote. I'm not standing for them in May this year. Thank you, Rory. And Candy Coloured Clown gave £3. Thank you very much. And he said, Laura mentioned a PA music festival. Will we be hearing more about that? In my opinion, the lockdowns are to condition the children next generation into thinking lockdowns are normal. Any good music recommendations? Well, you want to hop over to Jodie Kay for that. We will be talking about forthcoming PA events on Friday. But there is a wonderful woman called Olivia Key, and she has produced one of the greatest nationalist songs I have ever heard. I don't know if you guys have heard this, but it's absolutely incredible. I think I'm going to play out the stream on Friday with that particular song. It's absolutely incredible. It needs a lot of love. But yeah, go and check out Olivia Key and also check out Jodie Kay. So they are two very, very talented women. The Anglo-Briton gave another $3. Thank you very much. And said, Geordie's angry that you called us a gang of retards. Angry face, this is war. I think this is the meth gang, the meth heads, whatever they call themselves. This is apparently a war because I said their name is ridiculous. Oh, dear. I'm sure now I will never live this one down. Candy Coloured Clown asked another question and said, what's the name of the Italian nationalist coming on TAP soon on the after party?
Elenia. Elenia is her name. I don't know her last name. Perhaps that's anonymous.
I've just been corrected by the chat. They're not called the meth heads. They're called the meth squad. The meth squad.
Okay. The meth squad.
The chat are now calling them the Mong squad. So the Mong squad, McMeth. Come on, chat. Come on. Come on. You can come up with a better name. We've got 8 minutes. Well, actually, we've got 7 minutes now to come up with a more amusing name. Let's do that. Kelt said, how can PA use the momentum from Repubs switching to Trump's new party. I've already spoken about this extensively. I think Trump did a lot of good things for the nationalist movement. And one of the best things he may end up doing for the nationalist movement in America is absolutely smashing the Republican Party to smithereens. If he starts a third party, there's never really been an effective third party in the States. Would you agree with that, Jason? Or
without question, absolutely.
There's never been an effective third party.
No, the two Republicans and Democrats always work together in every case to destroy every attempt at a third party. So we've had billionaires try, and it's just no hope.
Okay. Well, exactly. There's never been, an effective third party in the States. Not one on the left, not one on the right. If there was one on the right, it would smash the Republicans. If there was one on the left, it would split or smash the Democrats. I believe that if Trump starts a party, this would potentially be the first credible third party in American history. And the party it would smash would be the Republicans. Every time Trump stood a third party candidate against the Republicans, you would end up in a situation where the Republican Party could not win. And that would mean the Republican Party would either A, die, or would be forced to adopt every talking point that Trump's Patriot Party did. This would be phenomenal. It's kind of what I hoped, and I'm sure Horace could chime in here. This is kind of what we hoped UKIP or the Brexit Party might do to the Tories, but it never really worked out that way, did it?
Well, except I would say UKIP do deserve credit. Well, the voters who switched to UKIP do deserve credit for what happened in the first half of the 2010s, which was, you know, 3.8 million of them switched away from the Tories. And that made a huge difference to British politics, to the point where the left and the pro-EU forces were saying that UKIP are now in control of the country. Obviously ridiculous, but I know what they're referring to is that, if you know, if people just outflank the Tories to the right, even a bit, I mean, UKIP were, you know, left wing in some ways, in some economic ways, but if they're just a bit more to the right of the Tories, even that changes politics. So yeah, this is why I'm despite the fact that it divides the votes on the right, I'm still pleased to see things like Reform, Reclaim, all this, and we'll attack their ideas, we'll criticize their leaders, we'll show them up to be the fakes that they are, but they're still better than the Tories, and it still helps having them there. It's better that that option exists.
Thank you. Well, that about brings us to the end of the show. And I think it's been an absolute cracking show. We've had nearly 1,600 watching here on 1,600 here watching on DLive. We're going to get the details from Sven soon on how many were watching over on Radio Albion or watching or listening. Before we end the show, as always, I want to thank our guest, Horace. How can we support your excellent work, Horace? Where can you be found? And are you going to be making Odyssey your new home?
Yeah, it really seems to be the best one. It functions best. I'm going to just drop my Linktree thing in the chat in a moment. But yeah, I mean, I can be found through Linktree. Odyssey is the main place. So just search for Horace on Odyssey. I wasn't the first Horace on there, but you know, you'll find me on that. In fact, what I'll do is I'll repost the thing from Kickwoods from last night so people can find me. And I just want to, since you mentioned Sven, I just want to give a big shout out to Sven Longshanks, who's had me on Radio Albion many times in the last few months. We did a really, really interesting series on the books of Kevin MacDonald, who's a big hero of many of us. So thank you, Sven, for having me on. I'm really, really pleased with that series that we did together.
Okay, we have one last super chat. Candy Coloured Clown said, can we get Daughter of Albion or Jazz Hands on? We've had both of them on before. They're both welcome back. If either of them would like to come on, they can always contact me. That would be completely fine, yes. Jason, give us your little outro. Tell us who is on tap and how we can find you and support your excellent work.
Elenia on Saturday, the 27th, will be with us. And that will be at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over on No White Guilt on YouTube and Entropy and many other places, Facebook and VK, etc. So we hope to see you all over there. NoWhiteGuilt.org, and it's brand new. So we am very interested in your feedback. If you would like to have a look at it, and there is a little widget there to be able to give me your feedback and suggestions. And theafterparty.tv, theafterparty.tv is where you can find us, myself and Mr. Jared George, and all the work that we do. So thank you all so very much. It's been splendid to be with Horace today, and dear brother, and of course our great leader Mark Collett over here on PWR, and looking forward to it again on next Wednesday.
Well, thank you guys, but you do not have to wait until Wednesday for more fantastic content. I will be with Dr. David Duke on Friday afternoon, 4 p.m. UK time. That will be live on Radio Albion. He obviously is restreaming that from the Rents Radio Network. That is the home of Dr. David Duke. That's where his show appears on a daily basis. I am with him every Friday, so you can catch me then. I will also be with you guys on Friday night with a lovely Laura Towler at 7 p.m. on YouTube and DLive. We will be doing a special PA stream saying what we've been doing, what our plans are, and we will be talking about Sven's just sent us the figures. Yet again, Radio Albion is beating DLive. We had 600 listening on the audio player and 1,300 on the video player. So with our 1,600 here, that makes a very healthy 3,500 people watching or listening. Well, that is a lot of people. And thank you, Sven, for your work. It is very, very good. As I was saying, though, I will be back on Friday with Laura, and we are going to be doing a lot of things. We're going to be talking about the future of PA. We're going to be talking about things PA has achieved this month. And we are going to be showing all 80 entrants of the baking competition. I'm going to be putting them all up on stream, and we are doing a full cookbook. There is going to be a full free PDF cookbook for everyone who supports PA, and it will include every single recipe that PA has received. That is obviously pretty damn big. I am so impressed that we had so many people join in. A fantastic community event. Then me and Laura will be back on Sunday, and our Sunday stream is, of course, the book club, and this month it is Hellstorm, and we will be joined by Natty and Sally and also the publisher and the author of Hellstorm. Now, if you haven't read Hellstorm, there is a documentary version. Please, please do look that up and at least watch the documentary before we do the book review. Heads up, I've watched the documentary, not read the book. But I've got to say, it is one of the most harrowing documentaries to watch. I've rewatched about a third of it today, and it's a lot to take in. It's very, very harrowing, but certainly well worth watching or reading. That's going to be a brilliant book club. And then at the beginning of next month, we will be back with the world's most famous Call of Duty Warzone tournament. That is going to be big, and we've got some new rules coming in this time. So we've got lots of things to look forward to. We've got a packed schedule this week. We'll be back next week, and forthcoming guests on PWR are Brandon Martinez, Lana and Henrik, and Keith Woods. We've got those guys, or one of those three, lined up for next week, and we've got a really good run in leading in to episode 100. I am really, really looking forward to it. People in the chat are saying, where can you watch Hellstorm? Watch Hellstorm over on Odyssey app or LBRY, whichever way you're watching it. I was watching it today. It's absolutely really well made, packed with information. Please, please do go and give it a watch before book club if you haven't read the book. So that brings us to the end of the show. As I said, 3,500 people watching tonight. And thank you to everyone. Thank you to Horace. Thank you to Jason. Thank you to everyone who donated so generously. But most of all, thank you to all you lovely people who tuned in to this incredible show. I will see you all on Friday and again on Wednesday for another episode of PWR. Look after yourselves. Stay safe, and see you again soon. Look after yourselves, and good night.